Striving for mediocrity in a world of excellence, this is The Chaser Report.
Hello and welcome to The Chaser Report for Friday, the 22nd of October 2021. I'm Dom Knight. Hello, Charles Firth.
And Victoria is out of lockdown.
Yes, Melbourne, the world's most locked down city, is finally free. Let's head straight to Dave Milner of The Shot, who's talked to us throughout this epic. It's been hell, but now at last it's over. Dave, congrats to you and all in Victoria.
Can you just muster a little bit of enthusiasm?
I have nothing left, Charles. No, that's all you're getting.
All right, Dave, it's been a great chat. Congratulations again. No. How do you feel, mate?
Overwhelmed, exhausted, in need of a beer.
Is that the first? Surely it's going to be cafe first.
Oh, get on the beers is the traditional sentiment for the end of a Melbourne lockdown.
Eggs in the morning, beers not too long afterwards. That's basically the plan.
Yeah. And are you going to be working?
Of course. You're my boss, and I'll be working extremely hard.
You can be the beer reporter for The Shot. No, but there's a beautiful piece up there at theshot.net.au. Please check out Dave's considered thoughts on all this as well, by the way.
Yeah, it's called 263 Days Later. Did you think it would be this long?
In March of 2020, if you told me that I would be spending 263 days in lockdown, I would have moved to Perth.
Oh, wow.
So you're saying Mark McGowan's approach has been the correct one?
Well, tell me, you wouldn't have rather have been in Perth this entire time.
Yeah, I think, well, someone I know, this kind of jet-setting international lawyer type, headed to WA for the past like 4 or 5 months and it just has been posting pictures of beaches and of fun. And I've got to say, wanting to be in WA for an extended period is a new sentiment to me, but it's one that I share.
Well, the weirdness of feeling jealousy for Queenslanders, that's been a new feeling for me.
And Tasmanians, for fuck's sake.
We feel jealousy for everywhere that isn't here, basically, which is a new sentiment for us too.
Yeah, that's right. So do you still think that Melbourne is the best city in the world, Dave?
It's a very good city that has endured an awful lot and doesn't need any sniping from hoity-toity Sydney types at the moment. Thank you very much.
Particularly a city which, I mean, some have said, probably unfairly, might have been responsible for this latest indignity and hell that was visited on Melbourne. We endured it too. And to be fair to Sydney, the vast majority of us were not involved in any of this. We didn't drive the limo or not order the lockdown quickly enough or hard enough. But, look, we are free together. We're now the two free cities in a lockdown country.
Although I would say under the current New South Wales regulations, Victorians are not allowed into New South Wales yet. So, Dave, it's very nice to have you out of lockdown. But please do not come up here yet, okay?
I'm not in any rush. There are places 16 kilometres from here that I would really like to see before I see Sydney. But we will get around to
Because right now, if you go to Victoria, I might be out of date with the regulations, but last time I checked, we're welcome. We're actually allowed in.
Yeah, we're allowed in. Yeah.
But there's a 14-day hotel quarantine before you're allowed out, I think. That was the last time I checked anyway. So we've still got a bit of work to do, but I just can't imagine how good that first tap beer in a pub's going to feel or the first just frolic knowing that, you know, no more shit basically, or much less anyway.
Yeah, it's a weird one because we've had this is our sixth re-emergence day, but it's a different one. It's an epoch shift. The possibility that this is the last one is the thing that's making this feel very, very different.
You know, you've now jinxed it. Now that you've said it's the last one.
Oh, dear.
It. You're right. But, yeah, we are emerging alongside the virus this time, and that will be an adjustment. I guess you guys are used to that. You've done that before.
Well, I mean, to be honest, and this is the kind of awkward fact about this moment in time, which I suspect will be redressed in about 2 weeks, is that the case count there is so much higher than here. It's almost tenfold that I think we're kind of just waiting for the penny to drop. So you go out and you kind of think, oh, there's a pretty small chance. But you just know that it's brewing in the background. And you hope your vaccination holds. You hope that people are being sensible, but you suspect they're not.
Yep.
And I don't know that it's going to be a tough few months, but fucking hell, it's better than lockdown.
I've actually taken Dave to I carry around a pack of 50 masks in my bag because so few people are wearing masks inside now, especially in my office building, that I hand them out in the lift because people get into the lift and say, oh, you don't have a mask. Maybe you want to wear one.
Which is the rule, by the way.
Yeah, which is the fucking law. So, anyway.
No, I love it. I appreciate the overzealousness. That's how we've been playing it in Victoria. It's the way to go.
Well,
you'd be intimidating, Charles, handing out masks to people in an elevator. I reckon that would intimidate me if that happened.
Yeah. Oh, I cough on them first.
Well, the sooner we all get it, the sooner we all get it, the sooner we all have immunity. Yeah. But I must say, I can't wait to come down to Melbourne.
And gloat.
And no, in all honesty, comedy festival next year. Melbourne in summer is a beautiful thing. We might all come down and ruin it, I think.
So many events early next year yet to be cancelled. It's going to be.
Give it time.
Yeah. Okay.
Look, you've worn your heart on your sleeve for everyone in Victoria. As far as I've never felt more like a Melburnian than reading your pieces. It's a weird sensation, but I actually really like it. Thank you for, you know, being the emotional Sherpa through so much of this on the shot.
Emotional Sherpa, that's a new one. I'll add that to the CV. Thanks, Dom.
All right, Dave Milner, don't forget the pieces up. Theshot.net.au. How many days later?
263 days later.
Oh, that's fucking what it is. Hell, poor bastard. All right.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Coming up on the show, Sammy Shah is going to give his perspective on coming out of lockdown.
Yes, which I suspect will be more sardonic, but probably just as heartfelt. Plus, a new segment where Charles tells tall tales and our interns have to work out whether they're true or not. It's all coming up right after Rebecca Dayanamuno in the Chaser Newsroom.
The Federal Coalition has shut down an attempt to find out who donated large sums of money to Christian Porter, saying that no good could come from an investigation that could prove Porter innocent or guilty of corruption. The Prime Minister said the entire Federal Liberal Party was still in shock after former New South Wales Labor ministers were jailed yesterday for corruption, suggesting that politicians could face consequences for their actions. The Bachelorette has hit a roadblock as it has become clear that all the contestants just want to fuck host Osher Ginsberg. The entire format has been upended after it turned out he was by far the hottest man or woman on set. Peter Dutton has taken a break from accusing the ABC of wasting taxpayer money to demand that MPs be able to use taxpayer money when they sue the ABC for defamation. According to the Mouldy Potato, politicians are completely disadvantaged by the current system as they have to use a blind trust to ruin an unemployed activist's life for calling him a cunt. That's the latest from the Chaser Newsroom. I'm Rebecca Dayunamuno, and if any lawyers are listening, I said all that against my will and am not liable for any of it. Remember to subscribe to the podcast on your podcast app of choice.
It's time to play the game we call Fiction or Furphy. We have Gabby and Lachlan with us to try and distinguish fiction from Furphy. Hello, both of you.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
And we have Charles Firth, who is going to tell a story, and Gabby and Lachlan have to work out whether it is a Furphy, which is something which is true but embellished, or a fiction, something that is the entire product of his diseased mind.
And we're doing this just because we want to, Dom. It's not because Furphy Beer is sponsoring us or anything, is it?
Not at all. And it is not as though I have to include the phrases Furphy, unbelievable, and tell you that, Charles, it's time to crack one, tell one. Those are things I would say anyway.
Are you two ever considering an acting career?
Well, let's see how plausible Charles is.
This one's actually about something that happened at the beginning of this year with Xander. I was making a video with Xander, and it was a sort of serial of an attack ad. And it was in the style of a sort of old, you know, those old, you wouldn't steal your mother's car.
Oh, yeah, the front of every DVD.
Yeah, the beginning of DVD.
Or video cassette back before you were born. Like.
So we took that form, which was only 15 years out of date. Went something like, you know, you wouldn't trust your racist uncle. You wouldn't believe a QAnon rant or something. And then the last one was, you wouldn't buy day old half price sushi. And so we put the video out. It didn't do very well. But the thing that did sort of really spark conversation was the line, you wouldn't buy day old half price sushi. Lots of people went, no, but that's how I survive. That's where I get all my nutrition from. Half price sushi from the supermarket is like the best in the world, right? And I'd always, I don't know whether you've ever been into, like Coles and Woolies, they all have it.
Yeah, every sushi bar runs stuff out.
You just never get that stuff, right?
I'm a poor uni student and even I usually avoid it.
Yeah, exactly, right. This conversation got me thinking, oh, well, maybe actually it's all right. And so I ended up, okay, well, I might as well, right? And I shit you not, went in at the end of the day, so, you know, this salmon sushi sort of bento box thing that would be otherwise, I don't know, $11, $12, $13, $14 was $3.50. And so I took it home, had it for dinner that night, and then at 2 a.m., that night, it decided to go through me, and it was literally the worst food poisoning I have ever had.
Gabby, is this fiction, has Charles made it up, or furphy? Is it a true story that's somewhat embellished?
I think it's a furphy, but not for the reason you might think. I actually think it's a furphy because I think somebody else in his family got this food poisoning, and it was actually a bad dad moment.
Oh, that's very good. Lachlan, do you agree?
I'm going to go with furphy because I seem to remember Charles coming in one day and offering me some sushi that he hadn't finished, and I didn't question it at all.
Charles?
No, it's complete fiction. I have never bought half-price sushi from the supermarket, and I never will.
He thinks he's too rich for cheap sushi, that magnate. There you go. This has been Fiction or Furphy. Catch you next time.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Today is Freedom Day in Victoria after a very, very long time indeed. We talked to Dave Milner at the start of the show for the emotional, heartfelt response. But I can't wait to see what Sammy Shah's got to say about the journey over the past months and years, in fact, and the joy and perhaps massive outbreak that lies ahead. Hey, Sammy.
Hey. I don't want to get out. I don't want to. I don't want to get out. 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 I'm fine in my apartment. I don't want the rest of the world. I have already had nothing but a shitty week because they've announced this end of lockdown bullshit. I'm fine. We were fine. You know what? We were fine. We had Zoom. We had Netflix. We had Stan and Disney Plus and all those things. And we had Uber Eats and we were fine. We don't need other people. We don't need sunlight. We don't need activity. We've established we're fine. What? It sucks. Now I have to go to a barbecue? Fuck that. I hate barbecues. I have to go to a picnic with friends? Fuck picnic. What would this? I don't want this. I want a pandemic. This is not the pandemic I was promised.
I feel like you've become accustomed to lockdown.
I'm understanding why the caged bird sings.
Yeah.
I mean, look, yes, some people have pointed out that my reaction to lockdown ending has been very much like that old man in Shawshank Redemption who basically does not like working in a grocery store and ends up carving his name onto the high beam. And let's not go with what happens at the end over there. But, you know, I mean, I'm not adjusting well. I'm not enjoying. Look, you know what? Here's what happened. So I have been wearing glasses since the age of 6, right? You can see spectacles on my face. They're humongously thick. These are Hubble telescope level thick spectacles. and since the age of 6, I've been wearing them. And finally, this lockdown, you know, you this thing you do in lockdown where you contemplate your mortality and you question your life choices. And I was like, why am I wearing these? There's modern technology that allows me to take off my spectacles. So I went and I got the appointment, and I was going to get on November 4th and November 5th, one eye and then the next eye, both of them laser surgery, microsurgery done, and they're going to put implant lenses into my eyes and do all kinds of cool bionic shit, and I'd never have to wear glasses again. And I was so excited. You know what? I didn't even get headshots taken for any new media opportunities that might one day come my way when finally all the white guys from Chaser die and the rest of us in the country get an opportunity to get on fucking television. And you know what? They canceled it. They canceled it because they're like, we're ending lockdown. There might be too many sick people, so we're redirecting all our medical resources towards the hospital. I don't get to get my laser surgery till God knows when now. I have to continue wearing glasses like a schmuck, like a loser, for the rest of my life, probably.
So essentially, you're against the end of lockdown
mm-hmm.
because of the pressure it will place on. Hang on, how does it work?
I just want to note, can I just point out before we go any further, that Sammy, that just for the record, mm-hmm. Charles and I are not standing in the way of you being on television.
Yeah, I know. Let's be very clear.
It's largely Chris,
let's be honest. It's that fucking jawline of his. It makes him all attractive to TV producers, and they keep offering him.
Why don't you take your glasses off? Although he has glasses.
Have you seen he got a hosting, or not a hosting job?
Like, no, I know. Would I lie to you? It's amazing. There's him, there's Lisa Wilkinson, I believe. There's Fred from, what's it called? I'm forgetting the name of their troupe now. But yeah, three amazing comedians, who thank God they've been given an opportunity because they've never had a chance before to really show how they can fail at a TV show.
I'm really excited about this Frank Woodley guy.
It must be quite.
I haven't heard of him before.
Yeah. Fred Quarterly. You know, it must be quite disappointing or depressing that there's no people of color with talent or anyone under the age of 40 in all of Sydney for Channel 10 to cast with.
Hopefully they'll have a racism scandal at some point during the season. And then they'll need to come in and brownwash it for a while.
That's right, for 2 years.
You know, not for too long.
Yeah,
just half a season. And then that'll be your big opportunity.
It's the only way I get a gig these days. But no, here's the thing. And I don't mean any disrespect to the, like, you know, to Chris or to Lisa or to Frank/Fred, because
I love the sort of all white people are the same approach to the people who are on the show, because it's Chrissy Swan, isn't it?
It's anyway. Chrissy Swan.
I don't know.
But sure, they're all the same. I hear you.
It's not Lisa. It's Chris and Chrissy.
Okay.
And Frank.
So basically, out of all of the talent in Australia, they got the two white people with the same name as well. They just happen to be different genders. Okay, great. Real diversity casting there, folks. No, look, I don't even care about that show. I'm not going to watch it. No one's going to watch it. It'll last a season. It'll die. That's fine. That's the birth and rebirth of Australian television. What I care about is the fact that I am not ready to get out of lockdown, because I don't want the rest of the world, because the rest of the world sucks, you guys. It is on fire. It is depressing. You leave your house, chances are Barnaby Joyce is going to start dry humping you, no matter who you are or where you are in all of Australia. The entire environment's on fire. Everything sucks. And now we got to go and meet people and pretend we love strangers and hug our cousins and shit. Fuck that. I don't want to do this. I'm out.
I feel like this podcast has actually become a sort of therapy session.
I mean, look, you could probably get a rebate. I'm not going to lie. You should consider applying for a medical rebate, yes.
And I like that we are the personification of the things that are wrong. We are the comedy establishment, albeit a particularly unsuccessful quadrant of it. We are Sydney.
Look, you are the man. The chaser.
We are outdoors from your apartment, which sounds like that's also something you're not interested in at the moment. And fair enough. These things are all true.
Mm.
But,
Sammy, the one, like, because we've been through getting out of lockdown. I know you've been through it six times, but we went through it at the beginning of last week. And you're right, it's terrible. The hangovers really get you.
The sunburn. I got sunburned.
But there was, it was about the third or fourth dinner party in where I was really going, wow, this is quite a lot of effort to sort of thing. But I also just got this sense of joy come over me. And it was like, it was a feeling that I hadn't had for months and months and months. And it was the joy that you get in connecting with other human beings in real time, in person.
Charles,
it is, and it becomes the meaning. That is the meaning of life, Sammy.
Charles, you sound like a Deepak Chopra book right now. Stop it. Stop it. The world, we are comedians, we are satirists, we are cynical and bitter. And this cynicism and bitterness has been beaten into us by society. And I am not ready to deal with joy. I am not ready to have sunlight hit my face and feel elation. I don't want elation in my life anymore.
Can I give you the counterpoint? Because I was at the dinner party in question, which Charles hosted, which was enormously kind of him, and it was absolutely terrifying. Everyone was so loud and shouty, mm-hmm. and I mean, it was fun in its own way. Well, I was pissed, but then the next day I woke up and I was like, I've got COVID. I've definitely got COVID. I've got the coronavirus. I went and got a test. It was negative. I don't fucking know how. And it was harrowing. It was the worst thing that's happened in terms of my stress levels in months. But yes, I have to admit there was some joy.
But keep in mind, by the way, you guys went out of lockdown with, I think, what, a few hundred cases a day by the time, right? We had more cases today than we have had at any point in the history of our lockdown. And that is over 2,000 something cases at this point. And that is only going to go up. So even though we are now going out of lockdown because we're all vaccinated, we're all feeling better about our vaccinations, we're going to see more cases. We're going to see more incidences. The news here will be more alarmist. We're going to see more panic and yelling and screaming in the media. It's not going to be a happy time. We were fine in lockdown.
Isn't that directly your fault, though, Sam?
I mean, absolutely.
You're a performer. And so your whole job is to get people together in a closed room,
poorly ventilated,
in close quarters, and get them to laugh on each other. Like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you've never been to any of my shows, you know, clearly you've never been to any of my shows because, you know, they don't laugh on each other very much when I'm performing. But yes. I will say this. Yes, it's not the best life choice that I have made for others, but you don't become a performer for others. You become a performer because you're a selfish person. And my complete and utter fear and panic that I am feeling about lockdown ending is purely selfish. And it is the ultimate act of my artistic expression. And I feel censored right now by your critique.
Right. Well, I mean, but you were going to perform at the Comedy Republic on
I was Saturday, indeed. Right? And then Daniel Andrews had a typo. And then, look, that's the thing that I missed the most. I'm a comedian.
So what happened? Tell that story. Okay, I don't think anyone knows
that story. This is a typical Melbourne story, right? This at this point. And by the way, I'm not an anti-Dan person. I'm not a Dan stan. I think at the end of the day, he's a politician. He did a very good job during lockdown of managing Melbourne and getting the best health advice. He also did a very bad job of, you know, implementing over-policing, some might argue. And at the end of the day, he's a politician. They're all self-serving assholes. So whatever. If anyone is there, like, just completely fantasizing about a politician, that's worrying about their mental health. But regardless, he announced the end of lockdown. He said, these are the things that you can do. And on the things that we could do was entertainment. Entertainment venues were open and up on there, I think 20 people or 5 people with like 1.5 meter space between them, etc., can go to these venues.
And you never get more than about 20 people to your show.
I mean, like 20 people is when I put all my money in Facebook advertising. So yeah, that's it. Out of which 19 of them are comedians using their free passes to get it. I had the thing where all, you know, we Comedy Republic contacted me, beautiful venue in Melbourne, one of my favorite venues in a comedy in Australia. Yeah. And they contacted me and said, we're open. And we had all caps emails going back and forth because we were like, can you believe this? We finally get to do comedy in a week in front of live humans. It'll be so liberating, so exciting. And then the very next day, it turned out Daniel Andrews has misannounced everything because of a typo. There was never supposed to be entertainment venues. So all of those gigs have been canceled again. And all that was my luck. I think that was the straw that breaks the camel's back. That was my straw. That was my last bit of hope. I have given up hope. I have given up aspirations. I have given up belief in the betterment of mankind. And now I want us all to suffer heat death at the hands of an undying universe.
I think the reason, Sammy, is that every entertainment venue I've ever been to, I've been to probably 50 different venues for comedy in Melbourne over various comedy festivals, they all have his arch nemesis. They all have stairs.
Oh, that is true.
Yes.
Every venue.
Vocally anti-stairs.
He doesn't trust them.
Yeah, why would he? They tried killing him last time. They're part of a conspiracy. They definitely, stairs are the quite famously Victorian opposition. So Labour is elevated.
No, I think they're much bigger than the Victorian opposition.
Everything's bigger than the Victorian opposition.
They've actually managed to get him out of office. Well, Sammy, I hope you can learn to love the next phase. But look, the way the numbers are going, I suspect that this may not be our last lockdown.
Like, that's so, the other thing. Everyone's going lockdowns over until the next one. Why? This is, you know what? Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on me. I think that was the wise words of George W. Bush. And that's at this right. point, we're being fooled for the 15th time if we think lockdown's ending and we should feel good about this shit. So I'm not buying it. I can see through the hoax. I'm a truther, and I'm on top of this. I know how to handle it.
Well, we had a very emotional chat with Dave, who was very joyous. Thank you for being such a thorough antidote to all that he had to say at the start of the podcast.
Well, that's on him.
I would plug your upcoming live gigs, except there aren't any, but you go to Sammy's Patreon and subscribe, and you can see some of his old live gigs and get his news weekly newsletter as well, and lots of other stuff that he does. Thank you, Sammy.
Thank you very much.
And recipes, by the way.
Yes, recipes. That's the main thing that's taken off for some reason. I'm now suddenly writing recipes.
We all transform in lockdown.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sammy.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Charles, just before we go, I have some outrage for you from Buckingham Palace.
Oh, okay.
The highest circles of power in the Commonwealth. The Queen, 95 years old, mourning her husband, Prince Philip, has been told by her doctors to give up her evening dry martini.
Well, that's what's kept her going all these years.
Honestly, if you make it to 95, you can have a fucking tap with martini coming out of it. She's mourning. And what do British people do when they mourn? They drink and they repress. That's how you get through.
And anyway, didn't her mother, the Queen Mum, get to 103 or something because she had a glass of gin each morning?
Yes, it basically pickles the interior of the body.
Yes.
And look, I've got the report here from Vanity Fair, and it's important that the palace official says she's not a big drinker. Okay, the Queen is not a big drinker.
Just a daily drinker.
She just has a martini every day.
If you had a butler and a...
She's got her own brand of gin these days, apparently, too. Yeah, you would. James Bond's drink. He can save the world on martini. She can, too. So she has the martini. At dinner, she usually enjoys a glass of sweet German wine. And then she has a glass of champagne before bed. So what's that, 4 standard drinks every single day? That's not a heavy drinker.
Well, I mean, it kind of is, actually.
I think all accepted medical definitions, she's absolutely sozzled. But look, it's not a very fun job. I mean, if we learn nothing from the crown, being queen sucks.
Horrible,
shit.
Horrible. But you know who I really blame for this?
Who do you blame?
Meghan Markle.
What's she done now?
I haven't really thought the steps through, but I'm pretty sure she is the one to blame for the Queen not being allowed to have her essentially constitutionally enshrined dry martini of a night.
It probably is that. It's either that, or if she stops drinking, she thinks about Prince Andrew.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wants to do that.
No.
Keep drinking, Your Majesty.
Our gear is from Rode Microphones, and we are part of the Acast Creator Network. Now, it's Friday. We were supposed to read out the reviews.
There have been some really good ones, actually.
Yeah, but they're all too nice. I think we need to sort of do a sharp left turn, still leave a 5-star, but I just think people should really concentrate on bagging out Dom next week. Yep.
I have got a pretty clear ride so far. Yeah. I've basically created indifference. Nothing positive and nothing negative. Sure, go for that. Or just anything. Just be funny. Whatever you like. We just want to read some fun stuff out on the Friday. I'm off to have a dry martini, you know, because that's what the Queen would do.
Yeah, well, I'm having a dry martini too, not just for the Queen, but for everyone in Melbourne.
Yes.
Drink up, have a great day, and we'll see you next week.
If COVID doesn't get you first.
Oh, yeah, don't go outside.